You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
We're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us in the studio with us Holly Hanzarek, who is the front counter manager at Proust Pets. And she has with us the long white-haired guinea pig named Hoax. And Hoax was squealing it up during the break, but he's back in relaxed mode. But Holly, before the break, we were talking a little bit about what they ate. And that makes me ask the question, can you explain to the listeners, where did guinea pigs come from? I mean, where in the world are they from? And how have they evolved in terms of being a wild animal into being a pet?
Well, first off, saying where in the world makes me think of where in the world is Carmen Sandiego every time someone says it. So that was what was going through my brain while you were speaking, to be honest with you.
Well, where would Carmen Sandiego say
these are
from?
Well, if we named him Carmen, he would come from South America. Down there, the original domestication of guinea pigs actually rooted from them being a very reliable food source. They're easy to breed in captivity, pretty easy to catch. They're at one point very highly populated. So even all the way back into, you know, before the 1700s, they even say in the Peru area before the Incas were around, they were one of the main meat sources for, you know, indigenous peoples down there. And that was kind of where it all started off, I guess. And then being able to domesticate them and breed them in family and home situations as a food source, kind of like when a lot of people keep chickens as pets, I guess, kind of started off that way. And it evolved from there, mostly because of their great little personalities here. I think they kind of turned into a pet once they crossed into Northern America.
Interesting. They do well on just a soiled surface, so you could easily see them fencing them around and, you know, seeing the old guinea pig ranch, right, you know, down there, as the equivalent of that in their own little villages. And they can actually deal with, you know, cracks and crevices pretty well and maneuver.
Yeah, they like to hide in between little, you know, small little cave type, you know, places wherever they can get into. And they're very, very easy to contain. So if you see their little legs here, his legs only like maybe, an inch and a half, 2 inches long. They cannot climb out of anything. Yeah. So if you make, say, like a pen for him on the floor, and you make a ring around the outside that's, you know, 6 inches to a foot high, he can't get over it. That's it. He's penned in that one spot. So keeping him domesticated, other than having to keep other animals out that might try to eat him, wild dogs.
And that's the one thing I want to mention. If you get a guinea pig, the thing is it's easy to kind of create a fun, interactive opportunity with your child. You know, one thing that you want to do is just when he gets out, you know, maybe when the child gets out of school, you get out the little fence barrier and you let the child and the guinea pig interact at the same time every day.
Right.
Animals understand, the procession of a day. So if you really want to communicate to any animal, understanding that doing the same thing at the same time and interacting in the same ways, like giving them the treats at the same time and whatnot, gives a sense of expectation, of understanding, and they interact that much more closer to the person that keeps them.
Interesting.
Yeah, they're good with rituals and habits. Hoax here, actually, we were talking about him squeaking before the break a little bit, and that was pretty much just he's content. He does that when he's happy. You itch him behind the ear in certain places, you get a little, you know, squeak out of him. But he understands every morning he gets fresh hay. And so when he hears the plastic of the hay bag, you get like a really, really loud, high-pitched squeal. And that's like, I want my hay right now. Like, you know. And so that communication, that's because, you know, every day we our staff for the reptile department, at least, comes in at 8 a.m. So he gets fed before the store even opens at 10. So he knows that. He expects that by 10 o'clock, before anyone else walks in those doors, I should have fresh hay in this little, yeah, it's like in a little wheel, you know, that's what he gets it out of.
Right.
This little hay ball, you know. And so that routine for him is something that almost all the guinea pigs, even the babies, we get them in at, say, 6 to 8 weeks old. And by the time they're there for 3-4 days, they all pick up on when to squeal for hay and they learn that pretty quickly. And so they definitely understand, I guess, the routine of the day and participate a little bit in it.
If you're real careful in getting some items out of the, like even some fruits and vegetables and whatnot out of the fridge.
Yeah.
If it's a very small percentage of their diet, but you do it regularly as a treat, They really like that, and that's what I would do when I was growing up. And so literally as soon as the refrigerator door opened, I mean,
they knew it.
I think they knew it. They can tell you whether the light's on or not in there, I'm sure.
Right.
But the idea is they know exactly what their world is, that refrigerator. So, and children respond well to that because there's reaction. You know, they get a relationship with them. You know, a hamster's not going to change its behavior when you open the refrigerator door, you know, or when you walk in the room or whatnot. They're not going to notice the change in behavior of a hamster. It might have a change in behavior, but they won't notice it as well. With a guinea pig, they're large and in charge when it comes to, I want some attention. And the kind of attention they want is real positive.
Right.
There's nothing negative.
Well, and that leads me to the question that as a pet, what kind of a lifespan do guinea pigs typically have? Because, again, we've talked about some animals, turtles, that can live 70 years or more.
Yeah, my tortoise is going to have to be willed to somebody. I don't know who's getting her yet.
Yeah,
but
there's no question. But guinea pigs, are they? I know rats, I believe you said, were about 4 years. What is a typical lifespan for a guinea pig?
Guinea pigs, we usually say around four. Sometimes you can get up to 5 or 6 years out of them. Mm-hmm. Rats are... I've never had a rat make it past three.
Right.
And, so yeah, they're more three, like, if you hit two, you're pretty good with a rat.
Yeah.
And, you know, three is actually even a little bit of a stretch. We get a lot of return customers who've had a rat. They come back, they want another one. They usually hit around two, maybe two and a half, just the way they age really rapidly. But these guys, you get a little bit more of a long-term pet. For some people, the commitment for that, for, you know, 4 to 5 years is something that they find to, you know, not quite entirely desirable. But for other people, it's less of a situation where you have to have the conversation about having lost an animal, you know, so you get a little bit more time with them. Plus, they're the most fun. I mean, it's really fun to watch them grow up for the first 6 months or so. But once they hit about a year, year and a half, and they settle into your daily life, they understand, you know, this means a treat. This means I'm going to get, you know, we do dark leafy greens as a treat. They become much more bonded. They understand you. They sense your sense of smell. They know what we're going to do each day. They know when I'm getting a treat. I know when I'm getting, you know. And it's fun when as they get older, I guess. It's kind of like when you get a puppy. They're fun when they're a puppy because they're so playful, but you have all the accidents in the house and stuff like that. But when you get an older dog that's just reliable and well-trained and it comes when it's called and you can take it more places and you know, you really enjoy that camaraderie with the slightly older animal. Same thing with these guys. Once they hit a year and they kind of mellow out a little bit and they're a little less running around, you know, it's fun when they're little, but when they get older, you really appreciate just that mellow behavior. They want to snuggle. They like to be pet. They're easier to groom, things like that, and it lasts a little bit longer with them, which is nice. Unlike like the gerbils, rats, hamsters, things like that, you're looking at like a 2-year life expectancy.
Interesting. And when it comes to the costs for these animals, what kind of costs typically are they particularly expensive or inexpensive to keep? Talk about that.
Well, for the animal themselves, they're not very expensive. We sell the English guinea pigs, which are the real short furred ones that are real easy to keep for about $20. And then the cooler and harder for us to get our hands on the fur type as far as Texel Peruvian, teddy bear, things like that, the price goes up a little bit. But the purchase of the animal is never more than, say, like $50 is the most. Cages for these guys are very reasonably priced. They cannot, like I said, climb up things. They can't climb up the bars of the cage. You shouldn't have a lot of ramps and things in there because with their little short arms, they can't climb with them. They also can't catch themselves. So if you offer them an environment that's, say, very small amount of surface area on the floor, but has a lot of height to it, you have to worry about them falling off those shelves. If a rat starts to fall off a shelf, they grab onto the bars on the wall, they're fine. You know, they do great in that type of environment. But a guinea pig can't excel in that environment. If they were to fall off a shelf, they're not going to catch themselves. So you have to worry about them injuring themselves as they fall.
So what I hear you saying is they're better with lower and wider.
Yeah, the cages for them are all one level, say like maybe 3 feet by 2 feet in size, and you can go up from there. Bigger is always better. You know, you can't give them too much space. And it's just one level, and then you give them places to hide. So the basic ingredients for them is just a cage, a water bottle, a food dish, something to sleep in, something to put the hay in so it's up high off the side.
It's pretty simple.
And then that's it. That, you know, five basic ingredients, and you have a proper environment for them. And you can always add from there. But
well, for any of you who are looking for a pet, I have to cast my vote that you've convinced me that guinea pigs must be great ones. We've been speaking this morning with Holly Hanzarek, who is the front counter manager at Proof's Pets. Holly, thank you for bringing Hulks in. He's a terrific guinea pig. And any of you can go see Hulks anytime at the Proof's Pets store in Old Town. So it's definitely going to be worth the trip because he is really cute. So, Rick, I'm sorry to say we've run out of time, our usual problem. But on behalf of our producer, Angela Gomez, and my partner in the studio, Rick Bruce, this is Lee Cohen wishing all of you a great week and a great weekend ahead. We'll see you next weekend for the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And please, please take good care of your pets. Have a great weekend, everybody.